Blog Talk Radio.
Right.
but I appreciate you calling in.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to grab the first poll here. And I'll post that to the board. Would you mind giving this a read when you see it, Mark?
Sure enough. Let me just refresh quickly.
Okay, sorry, I just got to add it yet.
I don't see it.
It should be good now.
Yep. This is called Umbrella of Destiny, Acrostic by K. Crown. Unbridled love abounds. We dance our way through moments of wonder. The luminous array of colors brings boundless energy into the night with a pitter-patter of steady rain falling. Each drop a jewel of hope that sparkles, hands entwined as we splash in puddles. Our hearts play a melody of lilting lyrics. The song of love spills through us in harmony. Lanterns glitter with rainbows of light as we are swept into magic auras of delight on this night that has no beginning nor any end. Once we were strangers, now no longer. Tonight, fire burns strongly as we saunter upon glistening roadways. Dripping with glee, with not a care in the world, enchantment flutters and flits through radiant trees. Someday, when we walk these paths again, will we tremble with joy, skip and skitter across the slick, ink-strewn streets? Dreams of a future bubble up with no leaden clouds to darken the bliss as we glide along yellow-orange shimmering streets, a fiery flame flaring within. End poem.
Well, that was an excellent read on a beautiful poem. You know, it's touching from the beginning. Unbridled love abounds. We dance our way through moments of wonder. Luminous array of colors brings boundless energy into the night with a pitter-patter of steady rain falling. Each drop a jewel of hope that sparkles. It's beautiful. You know, the sentiment of love is here, is touching, and, you know, it's filled with wonderful imagery, and you can feel the emotion in it. She asks, will we tremble with joy, skip and skitter across the slick, ink-strewn streets? Dreams of a future bubble up with no laden clouds to darken the bliss as we glide along. And just wonderful, wonderful. Oh, I love this storyline. What did you think, Lauren?
I liked it quite a bit, especially the title, Umbrella of Destiny. Now, as an acrostic, you know, you have to look at that first. Does it seem natural? Does anything seem forced? I didn't think it did at all. I thought it was read very naturally, very nicely. Some really nice imagery scattered all through this. That was a part I'd seen. Oh, I like the someday when we walk these paths again, will we tremble with joy, skitter across the slick ink-strewn streets. And then, of course, dreams of a future. So as a title, Umbrella of Destiny works really well. And then I got to think very quickly, where else did an umbrella figure prominently in something that I'm aware of? All of a sudden, I thought of that song by the Hollies, where they share an umbrella. I don't know if you know the song or not.
Yeah.
It's an old one. Yeah, but no,
yeah,
I liked it a lot. This is nicely done.
Well said. Thank you, Lord. Great comment. Okay, we have another caller here. Hello, area code 667. Who's calling, please?
Martha Gettle.
Hi, Martha. How are you?
I'm doing good.
That's good. Thank you for calling in.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get a chance to hear Laurent read?
Yes, I did. I thought it was wonderful. It brought back memories of when I first met my husband. We went caroling with the group, and it was kind of just like that. It was a really wonderful poem. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, I'm going to post the next poem. Would you mind reading this, Martha?
Yep, as soon as I find it here. True Love Ways.
Yep.
Okay. True Love Ways by Adrian 41062. All the scars that once laid siege and broke this body apart, through the frailty of love, every pain that penetrated my heart. Every person I fell in love with until the day I met you turned me inside out and hurt me through and through. All those years, they took their toll, and I've always wanted to hide. Since our very first word with you, I find it hard to trust inside. It's been 3 long years together. Piece by piece, you've restored my soul. Now I know what true love is, a love that takes pieces and makes them whole.
Nice read.
Yeah, fantastic read. Excellent read. And I love the flow of this poem. It had a beautiful flow to it, consistent and steady. But, you know, it leads you through the years of disaster until he meets a special person, and then that person brings him back to being whole again. And I thought that was just beautifully expressed. What did you think, Warren?
Well, the second stanza, which expresses how every person that I fell in love with until the day I met you turned me inside out and hurt me through and through. It's so true that sometimes we'll go through a number of different relationships, none of them working out. All we reap is a lot of pain and sorrow. And then you meet the one, that is true love. I think this poem expresses that beautifully here. Nice job.
Absolutely. Thank you, Laura. Martha, what did you think of the poem?
I can really relate to this. My husband, again, was hurt really badly before he met me. And there was a lot of work that we had to do together to restore what he was before he got so hurt. So I definitely relate to this poem. It's beautiful.
Wow. That's an amazing comment. Thank you. And I'd like to welcome Lee Wilder to the show. Hello, Lee.
Hi, Gray Eyes. Hi, Laurent. Hi, Martha.
Hi.
And welcome to everybody that's hanging out in the group chat and listening.
Did you get a chance to hear Martha read?
Yes, I did. She did such a lovely read with this poem. I liked her emotions in it. You know, it's true. When you've got somebody you cannot trust and cheated, it's very difficult to trust another person. And what it is if it's that other person who also possibly knows what it feels like, or if they don't, that they work with that person and allow them to work out their insecurities, that is what's so loving. Love is time and trust and patience. Beautiful read, Martha.
Thank you.
That was a great comment, Lee. Thank you. And would you mind reading the next one to you?
Mm-hmm. Okay, give me a second. And this song, this poem is written by Do Not Be Scared, Darling, by Impatience. In a rippling moonlight across the sandy shore, he places her next to the shrubs. He dislodges his fountain of love over her face. Her erotic bust enlarges, adorned by a pink strawberry and bilateral folds of inner lips. His youth washes away the rippling marks along her shivering tendrils. His cone-shaped mushroom lifts its head, fully bloomed, which he places along her pinkish ridges, laying in an abyss of treasure. He whispers, "Do not be scared, darling. I am with you. The rounds of her ivory melons are squeezed with his palms, and his stiffened hood forms an umbrella atop her reigning forest. Then the treasure comes open. He plays with his fingers along her rusty edges, slithering with moisture, while his lips suck the pungent inner juices with his sharpened teeth. He takes small nibbles of her buttery limbs. Two bodies then merge for the most pleasure. End poem.
Wow. That was a very steamy, right? You know, very detailed and image-filled about the act of becoming lovers. And I thought it was pretty powerful poem that way. What did you think, Lawrence?
Well, not to be a smartass about this, but I was three-quarters of the way through this, and I thought it was about somebody who was planting a mushroom, cultivating it to fruition, and then carving it to eat it. But a second read indicates that I may be mistaken. So I will listen for all the other comments.
You must be hungry, Laurent.
Martha, just what teasing. What did you think of the poem?
Martha,
hello,
what did
Martha?
You think of the poem?
Oh, okay. I didn't hear you. I thought it was beautiful. It's very intimate and very private. It's a really beautiful write.
That was a great comment. Thank you, Martha. And Lee, what did you think of the poem?
I thought it was racy, but I thought it was very passionate and very well written. The imagery, I would have never thought of using some of this imagery. Because every time I think of mushrooms, I think of Stormy Daniels and Donald Trump.
Steady,
sorry.
Steady. Wait. You can't go to the next poem without my adding a word or two. Because if I was in patience, I wouldn't be particularly happy with the comment I made. Let me just say that the metaphors she uses are intricate, unique, and if they're read the right way, goddamn erotic as hell.
There. Yes, it is.
Absolutely. And thank you for topping up your comment, Lawrence. Okay, so I've got the next poem up. It's by Gretchen Meisner, and I'll give that a read. My Rose,
Grace Salwa's...
I am not gone.
I'm sorry. Oh, I just wanted to let you know that Saul was here.
Oh, I see. Okay.
She's on hold.
Hi, Sawa.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Sawa.
Hi. Hello.
Hi, Sawa.
And I see Frank.
Hi. Great to hear you laughing. Hi, everyone.
Hi. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So I've got the next poem up. Would you mind reading it, Sawa?
Give me 1 second, please. Oh, yes. I would be honored. Gretchen Meisner, my rose, I'm not gone. You are going to be okay. I'm still with you every day. There where you were, my ring, and our roses bloomed in spring. Nothing can compare to you. The love we had is, oh, so true. The beauty blossoms on the vine. I'm glad you are still mine. You are the one I would still pick. To be my love, no tones to pick. The kinder heart could never be than the one I found in thee. Forever true my heart to you. Thank you, dear, I love you too. Together we grew. At times you were blue, but always new. I could count on you. Important now, you can see. that you can now count on me. I will not leave you alone. What you hear is my home. I love you and I'm here. I will be forever near. Living on the other side, in two worlds, we do abide. Continue, though, to carry on. Even left on earth, I long. My rose, you will still grow on. Tell them that I'm not gone. End the storm.
Beautiful read, Sama. And in the author's notes, it says, "Soul from an elderly husband in heaven to his wife on earth through a medium." The author shared with consent. But it was a beautiful storyline of love. You know, you can feel the passion and the love in this. Forever true, my heart to you. Thank you, dear. I love you, too. Together we grew. At times we were blue. But I always knew I could count on you. You know, that's beautiful and touching and dear. Just a lovely poem. What did you think, Blunt?
Well, the immortal image of the rose as a symbol of love or of beauty or fading beauty, etc., is sometimes ill-used, misused, but here it's very well-used. I like what he did with it. He cut everything up into short lines, the five stanzas on it, and speaks to her as if she was dead. But, of course, the twist is that he is dead. And she's alive. So the rose represents his love for her and the message that he is not gone. He waits for her. I love you and I am here. I will be forever near. Very moving.
Absolutely. Yes, thank you, Lord. And I'm blanking out. Martha, sorry. What did you think?
Oh, I thought it was beautiful. I can well relate to this poem. It's a beautiful message, heart-wrenchingly told. It just fills you with all kinds of feelings. Beautifully done.
Wonderful comment. Thank you. And Lee, what did you think?
I found that this was very lovely. You know, this is what couples that have been in long-term relationships, you know, she's out in the garden and she's looking at the roses blooming in spring, you know, where they possibly planted it together. And she remembers, you know, she says she remembers him smelling the roses. And I presume that his ring was glistening in the beautiful sunlight, that golden band where he said he would be so true to her. And she wanted to let him know that she has not forgotten his love. And he, through a medium, told her that he's waiting for her and he has not forgotten her and he's looking over her. This was a beautiful poem.
That was a great comment. Thank you. And Salma, what did you think?
It really is moving. I love the idea that she wrote it as her husband writing, as she said on her other note. From my understanding, I hope I'm right, this poem from an elderly husband in heaven to his wife on earth. It's just beautiful. And it's true when people, I've seen it with my mother and my father when he passed away, she just kept loving him. And he really compared her to a rose too. This is, for me, it's like someone, she talked about the blue times, not everything was up and they had the ups and downs, but he was always there for her. She could count on him. And as she said, I mean, he's talking to her, and it's really amazing. I think I just can see this is happening when she sees the rose, the oldest memory comes back to her, and this bond, even though there's that between them, but really cannot separate two hearts who are really in love. So beautiful, and moved me deeply.
Thank you. That was a great comment.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, so we've got Souls Tinged of Lilac Aster by KQ. Your fervent words cut deeply as sanguine melodies spills, soaking essences through bergamot clove, smeared lips of red ruby rouge, growth. Facing winter solstice days, those sultry eyes fixated, like sunflowers to bonzer rays, heart-drenched of blush peonies. With delicate fingers held gently, a parchment boutique of effervescence, dust and potpourri, tickled, souls tinged of lilac aster. That was beautiful. I liked it. You know, it had such clever wording, you know, saying we melodies and essences, bergamot, clove. Just wonderful, right? What did you think, Lawrence?
This is a rather novel brevity. I love its construction. I love its language. Facing winter solstice days, those sultry eyes fixated like sunflowers to bronzer rays, heart-drenched of blush peonies. Very nicely done. The mention of love, nature, and society. I liked it.
Great comment. Thank you, Lawrence. And Martha, what did you think?
I thought it was really beautiful. I loved it. It had so many beautiful words and word pictures, and it just left you with a really good feeling to read it.
Great comment. Thank you. And Lee, what did you think?
Well, you did a wonderful job in reading this. This is just the metaphors of hope and love in here, and the bouquet of the different scents of flowers. You know, you could just smell these different senses. And, you know, and that, you know, she brought out that, you know, her heart was drenched of blush peonies, that, you know, that beautiful color of love. This was a lovely poem.
Well, great comment. Thank you, Lee. And Sal, what did you think?
I agree. This is really beautiful. Like, I like how he brings the beauty of love, and talking about her lips, her eyes, her hands, gentle, with connected to nature, and bring all these sensations. As Lulu said, that you can there's the scent, but also the beauty. Also the beauty, like everyone else said, it's really beautiful, very passionate and romantic.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, I've got the next write up, if you wouldn't mind, please, Lord.
Where are we? Is that? No, I don't see it. I'm refreshing.
Oh, okay, maybe.
I don't see it either.
I'm sorry, I've got to pick it up again here. I'll be right with you.
Somebody's going to have
and
a strange
Bobby's, yeah, Bobby's on the line, too. I don't know if Frank is.
I can't see either one of them. I put a note in there asking to see if I can get Bill to do it.
Yeah, I can't do it.
Okay. At any rate, I got the poem. Short. I'm going to read it and let you guys figure out how to get Bobby online. It's called Wright Brothers by Gary Adcock. Two bumbling brothers, last names Wright, decided to rob the town's bank one night. Gathered up the money, fled quickly on foot, reached their hideout, but didn't stay put. Police chased them down, put them in jail, went before the judge, were denied bail. Next day in the paper, headlines read long. Two Wrights definitely.
So funny.
Well, I thought that was hilarious. You know, it's such a fascinating little storyline. You know, these starting with these two mumbling brothers, the last names, right? Decided to rob two banks, the town's bank one night. And then, you know, they're denied bail. Headlines read long, two rights definitely do not need a right. That's hilarious. Good reading. And what did you think, Martha?
I thought it was delightful. From start to finish, it was really good. It gave you a good reason to laugh at the end. I really liked it.
Thank you. And Lee, what did you think?
Well, first of all, I want to know that I thought Laurent did a fantastic job in reading that. I loved his vocal animation. It just made it even more delightful. What I like about this poem, it's so visual. And then, you know, you stop to think, you know, these guys don't seem too bright. And then when you get to that, that they were arrested by the police, which we're all not surprised, but it was those ending two lines, that punchline, that was a great punchline.
Well, thank you, Nuya. And Sawa, what did you think?
I agree with everyone. It's just great humor and amazing grime. I felt like I'm watching a Western movie from Edouard.
Great
read.
Oh,
you brought it to life.
And I'd like to welcome Bobby to the show. Hello, Bobby.
Hey, Bobby. Welcome, welcome.
Hi, Bobby.
Good evening.
Hello, Bobby.
Did you get to hear that poem? I did. That was bloody brilliant. That was a play on words. That was a play on words that would have made Ogden Nash or Edward Lear proud.
Yep.
Excellent.
Yeah. Thank you, Bobby. So I've got the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please, Bobby.
All righty then. Okay, it's my turn. Oh, how appropriate. It's my turn. Rhonda Yosri. Eeny, miny, mo, it's my turn to shine and glow as I sit in the front row. Let's face it, relationships aren't all sunshine or colors of a rainbow. They're like a walk in the Jurassic Park. Without a notice, you can be grabbed by a shark. They say the right person will come along while we journey. Let us be strong. Mine, I think, got hit by a truck. Or somewhere out there, lightning struck. Never give your prince you will find eating bananas, or maybe he is blind. I want someone to love me so much, I would fight a bear for him. But, well, not a grizzly bear, because they have claws, and definitely not a panda bear, because they know kung fu. Someone like a dictionary to add meaning to my life, and yet gladly gives me all the money from his wallet. For a happy marriage, he should make all my wishes come true and accept to do the dishes. But always follow your heart, but first bring your brain. The horse should be put before the cart. Do not believe in love at first sight. You should walk by again to make sure you chose well. We don't need another bullfight. It is not love that makes a relationship complicated. It is the people in it who are not dedicated. End poem.
Well, that was a beautiful read, Bobby. And, you know, it's a funny, funny storyline, you know. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, it's my turn to shine and glow as I sit in the front row. And then I really like where they say the right person will come along while we journey, let us be strong. Mine, I think, got hit by a truck or somewhere out there, lightning struck. And then always follow your heart, but first bring your brain. The horse should always be put before the cart. And, that was a fantastic write. What did you think, Lauren?
This is a funny piece. A little self-centered in terms of gender. She wants someone like a dictionary to add meaning to her life, who will also give all the money from his wallet and do the dishes as well. But there's a lot of wisdom in this, of course. Always follow your heart, but first bring your brain. Now, that's something that doesn't happen that often. And do not believe in love at first sight. Well, I mean, you can believe in it, just don't necessarily act on it. This is a quirky, delightful little piece that I thought was charming and a real joy to read.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lawrence. And Martha, what did you think?
I thought it was a really good, delightful way to approach a very serious subject with some pretty good wisdom stuck in the humor there. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Martha. And Sal, what did you think?
I agree with Laurent. I think she did it on purpose, exaggerated to make fun of people who want to marry because they want to be someone who spend money on them. There are women who like this, unfortunately. So I think it's really, it's hilarious, unexpected, and Bobby did definitely read it very beautifully. I agree with Martha. I feel like she tackled a very serious matter with so much humor. And I agree with the last, I love the last one in particular. It's not love that makes a relationship complicated. It's people in it who are not educated, well done. Really, I think it's so true. Because when you fall in love, I mean, there's a lot of work to be done, not only attraction. So, absolutely, well done.
And Bobby, what did you think?
Clever, it was lighthearted, and yet it was filled with a solemn wisdom when it comes to love. Do not believe in love at first sight. You should walk by again to make sure you choose well. We don't need another bullfight. I agree, it was perhaps a bit gender-centric or old-fashioned, wanting a man to bring his wallet. Better he bring his heart.
But just in case there's money in the wallet, she wants that too.
Yeah.
Money can't buy happiness. It just makes being miserable a whole lot easier to tolerate.
That's right.
All right. Absolutely, yeah. Thanks for the comments, everybody. Okay, Lucy, you're up, please.
Okay. Did you put the link in?
Yeah.
Hold on, let me refresh. Okay. Lockdown marks, Mr. Rant's wife.
I am Mr. Rant. I am always right. Can't catch me out, you can't. But please duck a fight. Look, daggers. Shut up, wife. I take the moral high ground. I'll take refugees. Others are rotten. And whilst time lessens sound, you know it all gets forgotten. Shut up, wife. One brain cell chasing fuel today is an absolute disgrace. You got yours yesterday to get ahead of the race. Shut up, wife. Government is always wrong, full of turns, lies, and increased taxes. Your accountant doesn't know all your earnings. Song, shut up, wife. Sigh. Let's move on to the anti-wax. Anti-vaxxers create risk for us all. I'm taking them to task. Out of town bars they crawl, but you refuse to wear a mask. Shut up, wife. This interview I must terminate. Your company darkness couldn't dim. You must make another date, but you said you hated him. Shut up, wife. Sadly, my wife passed away. In her will, it was her call that a plan she paid for many a day would avoid a rant at her funeral. Shut up, wife. In poem.
In the author's notes, it says, an observation how our lives are dominated by social media littered with hypocrisy. But, you know, it was a definitely powerful, right? It had its backbone to it, but was in your face and outlandishly garish in its way. But I thought it was just fantastic, right? What did you think, Lord?
I'm rereading it, amused at the tone, the shut up wife, at the end of every line. He definitely doesn't want a word out of her. And yet, the life insurance is right there for him. So he should shut himself up. I enjoyed this.
Great call, Edward. Thank you. And Martha, what did you think?
I thought it was really fun. It took you so many places before it was over. You hardly knew where you'd been, but I thought it was really interesting, and I enjoyed it.
Okay, Martha. That's a good comment. And Lydia, what did you think?
Well, I was thinking, you know, this is English humor. But I was thinking he said his wife is dead. So what I'm thinking is that he's missing her and he's going through life still because she's no longer there. And he hears her in her head, you know, her correcting him, don't do this, you know, don't lie on your taxes, make sure you get your tax done, make sure, you got to try and keep your job. And I think he's hearing her in his head and he's telling her to shut up. But how can you shut up when you miss somebody so much? I don't know. That's just my take.
Yeah, I agree. And Sarah, what are your thoughts?
You said it so beautifully, Louie. I felt the same, really, honestly. It was kind of, you don't know to laugh or what exactly. It just makes you react in a different way. It's different. It's completely different. But very daring, as you said, to... but has his humor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you, Kyla. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
There's some very acerbic wit, censuring his wife, who seems to listen and remember what he said. And when she calls him, he shuts her down. And yet... You know, and here's something that someone would kill for is a spouse who listens to them. And when he finally realizes that she was listening, it's a little bit late, and Mr. Rant gets the bitch slap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Great comment.
Mm-hmm.
Great comment, Bobby. Thank you. Okay, so we've got Poetic Picasso up next. I'm just going to post his to the board, and he has a SoundCloud. There we go. Okay. SoundCloud. Here we go.
Within the vast colors of nature, I find you there. Amongst the saddest blooms of the lively vernal days, the vivid verve of a choral hymn of sparrows, seated upon the boughs of the verdure of leaves. Above the vestal ladybird awakening from her sleep, in the charterous water lilies of the animated pond scene, beyond the fresh chrysalis of the monarch butterflies, you stand with the morning radiance of a pretty smile. I seek you in the gardens of verbenas and sweet nectar, where the velvety petals of the variegated pansies blossom gently with the vermilion roses of midday, behind the prickly burrs of chestnuts by blackberries. With the arrival of the evening, I can see the will-o'-the-wisp fading, as I begin to see then the myriad of the shining stars beneath the zenith of the angelic luminaries watching, over the rhapsodies of the nightly illustrations of time. I know in the depth of my heart you are waiting, and I shall find you in our beautiful garden of lovers, with the twinkle in your eyes and glow in your smile, as we hold hands and embrace in a tender kiss of our affection. Eres mi rosa que cuido siempre, tu sonrisa es la belleza de una estrella, tus ojos son el brillo de la mañana, tu beso es mi sed con que amanezco. You are my rose that I always take care of, your smile is the beauty of a star, your eyes are the brightness of the morning, your kiss is my thirst, with which I wake up, mi amor, mi flor, in the poem.
Well, that was a beautiful reading, his deep voice there, and fantastically written, you know. He's got style and class in his poetry. It just is sensual, you know, bordering on erotic and deeply penned from the heart. You can feel the passion in his right. Wonderfully done, Frank. What did you think, Bart?
I absolutely agree with what you just said about the passion and the right. I don't think there are many poems of his, regardless of the subject matter, which aren't written with some form of passion. I really enjoyed the verbiage, the nature aspects of this. I seek you in the gardens of Rabanus and sweet nectar, where the velvety petals of the variegated pansies blossom gently with the vermilion roses of midday, behind the prickly burrs of chestnuts by blackberries. That's really well done stanza. Kind of thing you like to read when you're in that kind of a mood. Very fulfilling. Well done, Frank.
Well said. Thank you, Lauren. And Martha, what's your thoughts?
I thought it was beautiful, the beautiful scenes of nature. You could almost see the whole thing the way he described it, and it was so full of feeling, and it was just a wonderful poem.
Well said. Thank you, Martha. Lee, what did you think?
Well, I was starting to write a comment, but I said this is deeply seductive, because it is. Like soft breezes caressing skin, wanting to be touched. What I really loved was how he described these kisses. You know, this is a kiss that you just, you know, you just cherish and can't forget. And it'll always be in your mind, where he says that tender kiss of affection. And then that last line, oh my goodness, I love that last line. Your kiss is my thirst with which I wake up. Tu beso. That was absolutely beautiful.
Great comment. Thank you. And Sawa, what are your thoughts?
I agree. I mean, Frank had this capacity, or really a gift, of I don't know where he gets these words from. He never repeats himself. To give you the feeling of reverie, where he's longing for her and there's desires that he wished that happen. And the idea of the garden, just for some reason, put me in a different era where lovers used to meet in gardens, and just so beautiful and so tender and really well done. And especially the Spanish part, I don't know why. I feel it's more romantic. Don't you agree with me, do you? It's very, very romantic.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. The last stanza is just gorgeous.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sawa, for the wonderful comment.
My pleasure.
And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I think that the last century had Pablo Neruda. This century we have Frank.
He would love that.
Frank, romance will live. I think it's beautiful, and I loved it. The colors, the fragrances, everything.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. Thank you. Okay, Sawa, I have a write-up, if you don't mind.
Of course. Let me refresh. I'm sorry, I was commenting on Frank, where I'm at. Okay, broken. I hope. Let's see. Words are easy. Okay. Masterpiece. Broken. He sits in the darkness alone, and his heart is broke, reading the Dear John letter. Murder, she wrote. His own sobs or sorrow, the only sound, head spinning like a merry-go-round. She left him home alone, and his hurt is cutting deep. Wants to disappear and go away, maybe Quentin deep. He always tried to take care of her, to be a provider. Now he rides alone without a passenger, like a night rider. As he continues to sit in misery in his sight, his anger grows to extreme, and he starts to destroy things really incredible. because maybe one day someone will put them back together, make him whole with a decent plan, stronger and faster, $6 million man. He knows within his heart he deserves. He had sea and he's not a scrub. Still, he asked himself, how did he end up dangerously in love? Now he will move forward, knowing the hurt may remain, that he's going to have to deal with some relationship going pain. Right now, all the things he's feeling makes him sick of it, muttering to himself that this nonsense is ridiculousness. This is what separates real love from pretend. He also knows that surviving, it turns boys to men. He contemplates the next time before a relationship begins, he gets to know that special person first by just being kind. And the form. Trying so hard not to laugh. Oh, God.
That was fantastic. Beautiful thing, Salon. And, you know, what a humorous poem with, you know, it's dark, but again, there's lightness in it with the play on the titles of The Hulk and $6 Million Man and Dangerously in Love. And, you know, it ends on the note with just being friends, you know, the smash hit in the 90s, I think it is. And it was just beautiful job. Excellent, right? I can't read. What did you think?
I enjoy the names of the popular references that were used in this. It reads well, so they're not clumsily inserted. And it's actually a very nice love poem. Now he will move forward, knowing the hurt may remain, that he's going to have to deal with some relationship growing pains. And that's a very rational statement. The insertion of the popular reference was smooth and skillful, as was the poem itself. Lots of fun to read.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lord. And Martha, what are your thoughts?
I really liked it. It started out like it was going to be so sad, and before it was over, you couldn't help but laugh the way he worked all those different references in. I thought it was a really enjoyable poem. Great write.
Thank you. And Louie, what are your thoughts?
I thought this was really clever. I loved all the music, all the TV references that he put in here. And I, you know, just like what Lawrence said and everybody else that's commented, it, you know, it went along. You would not, you know, you would not know unless you were aware of these different types of programs and popular shows that people watch, you know, and it just starts off, you know, even with the first line, it says, he sits in his darkness alone and his heart is broken. You know, like with Martha, you know, you start feeling sad, oh, this is going to be a sad poem. And then it says, reading her Dear John letter. And then he goes, Murder, She Wrote. Okay, and then it just, you just, the references were just perfectly timed in there. I enjoyed the entire piece. Fantastic read.
Great comment, Lou. Thank you. And so, what did you think? Hello, Sawa?
So sorry, I was on mute. I'm sorry, I was coughing. I put myself on mute. This is really a great poem. I agree with everyone. I love how you dramatized it by adding, capitalizing the particular words of reference, like ridiculousness. It's just funny. You can't help it, even though I agree, like in the beginning you felt, oh my goodness, this is really sad and heartbreaking. And it's great that someone has this capacity to, even though he's hurt, to give it some humor. And I really like the advice at the end. The next time before a relationship begins, let's get to know the special person by just being friends. This is, could be for any gender. It's really a great advice.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Sawa. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Oops, I have to go. I was looking back at the poem. I had to shift gears. Oh, here we go. Sorry. Oh, I'm schizophrenic, and so am I. I really, this is a difficult thing to do, to create a pastiche that is woven together with contemporary references, because not everyone's going to get them. I certainly thought I was aficionado of television, but I can realize that I fell off the radar screen in 1999. But this is a very, very skillfully done. It reads well. It's a good story. It's entertaining. It's a fun piece.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, Bobby, would you mind reading?
Would I mind? When are you going to stop asking me that question? Okay. He's always so polite. His mother would be so proud. Here we go. We have Remembering the Past by Greg Gall. I'm sorry, I'm just silly tonight. There's more than just size to the elephant. They do some things that the others can't. Many stories show these acts as valiant. In the wild, grand gestures seem elegant. Their wisdom is eerily evident. Nothing too pithy or given to rant, like wry witticisms from Oscar Levant or Ogden Nash, whose stanzas are extant. Not the rhymes of some silly sycophant. Pachyderms make empathy relevant. Fact. Poem.
Okay. Yeah, it was a nice homage to the elephant, and I really liked his or Ogden Nash, whose stanzas are extant. And yeah, it was a great little poem. Excellent read, Bobby. Bart, what are your thoughts?
Thank you.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm here. I was just daydreaming a bit, but I think I already commented on this poem.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. See, I'm a poem behind. I beg your pardon. Oh, okay. Bobby mentioned Ogden Nash a poem or two ago, or as a review in this poem, I can see why. There's more than just size to the elephant. They do something that the others can't. Many show these acts as valiant. In the wild, grand gestures seem elegant. It's a nice ant song, ant poem, that Ogden Nash would like. Nicely done, Greg.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lauren. And Martha, what are your thoughts?
I thought it was really great. I love the story and the way the rhymes all work in. It's so perfect. Nothing seems forced. It all just flows really good. I think it's a great ride.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Sal, what are your thoughts?
No, sorry, mute again. I have to say I had to look up a lot of words that I'm not familiar with or people. I'm not sure what are the references, like for the Oscar Levant pianist to Sylvain Terrace, and then another poet. I'm trying to figure out the connection. I'm missing it here. But there is, I think he's playing with the word. Like when he says early elephant, I'm not sure if he's making like the wisdom, I'm missing it. I'm sorry, I'm really trying so hard. So because of the reference, I'm missing the cultural reference here. So, but the idea of the just the size of the elephant, there are other things more important. The size is not what matters, I think. That's what I get from here. The gestures, grand gestures seem elegant, like someone who want to be big. That's not what really matters, who you are. I'm not sure, but I have to think about it more.
Okay, thank you, Sawa. And Bobby, what did you think?
I have a question for the audience. Show of hands, who remembers Oscar Levant? That's what I thought.
Oscar Levant. Okay,
for
I'm not the only one.
Yeah, I thought so. It's been time to sound the obscure reference warning klaxon. For those of you who have seen American in Paris, he is the pianist that plays Gene Kelly's sidekick, his buddy. So he's actually in 13 different films. He was a concert pianist and a very well known in his day. But I digress. It was very amusing. I thought it was a delightful play on words, smoothly rhyming, considering he's gone through and done a great job of assonance on this, which I know is very challenging. And yet he's got something that reads well and is delightfully smooth rhyming. And again, he references Ogden Nash. I think Edward Lear would have enjoyed this, or even Dr. Seuss. So it is a delightful brevity. It's very well done.
That was a great comment, Bobby. Thank you. Okay, well, I have your write-up whenever you're ready.
This is called Blankets of Ice and Snow. When the arching wind blows through the canyons long, composing mythic harmonies against the crags and strong, fugues and etudes of Aeolus combined and moaned in song. In opposition, my pulse a tremolo, whispering its barest pumping beat in muted timpani as I pace paths with unshod bleeding feet, ill-suited to the ironies of fate, from which I may not retreat. Chaotic earth lay all about, tumbled, barren to its spires, carved with an unseen blade that smothers my inner fires to a damp and cold accretion, stripped clean of all desires. On and on howls the northern gale, my soul gelid with its chill. Storm offers no compromise between what it won't and what it will, nor sunlight, should it chance to shine, return a lost love or dreams fulfill. I fear the end comes, the welcome. To knees I fall, full length I'm spread, laying still, my heaving tide is ebbing. Blankets of snow and ice for bed, warmly wrapped in cotton wool, now stiff and silent, at long last dead. End poem.
Great, great. Would you mind reading your author's note?
Well, that just explains who Aeolus was, a human king who appeared in the Odyssey, king of the floating islands. And Aeolus, being a friend of the gods, had been given the power over wind.
Cool, I see. But no, that was a beautiful, beautiful read and an excellent write, you know, with your, the classic nature of it. It's just a powerful storyline that, you know, pulls you through this life of winds and northern gales and, you know, no sunshine and no love's returned, no dreams fulfilled, and then at the end, your death. Just a haunting, powerful way for it. And what did you think, Eva, Micah?
I really liked it. You could almost feel the winter wind in this poem. It was excellent, right? And it was very sad at the ending, but I really enjoyed the poem.
Thank you, Martha.
Mm-hmm.
Great comment, Martha. Thank you. And Salva, what did you think?
Laurent had this gift of imagery and wording, really expressing how the soul and spirit and even the body and the heart deal with life. The metaphor is incredible. And even loss of love or maybe dreams, as you said, deeply emotive from the start to the end. And I agree the last sentence is kind of sad, but it's very realistic about the journey of life.
Thank you, dear.
Yeah.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Thanks, Gisela. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
My pleasure.
Such a mournful a lament, almost a dirge, but so beautifully written. Your eloquence, your use of language is, you are so facile with language and with text and words like aeolus and tremolo. These leap out at me. I'm just looking, there's another one. Chaotic earth lay all about, tumbled barren to its spires. I mean, it's rhymed, it's beautiful, it's great storytelling. My soul gelid with its chill. When's the last time you saw the word gelid? I think the last time I saw it was the last time I used it. it's the language, the use of language. It is so carefully selected for its context and its specific meaning that it's almost like choosing a specific shade or hue in a palette of colors. And that's what makes your poetry so exquisite.
Very generous statement. Thank you.
Yeah, no, that was a beautiful comment. Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, so I'm going to grab the next poem here. This is by Martha Gettle. I'll post this to the board, and she has a SoundCloud. So I'll play that. There we go.
Is It Love by Martha Gettle. You don't act the same as before. I can't feel the love anymore. Love is not the answer somehow. Love's become the question now. Is it love that I feel when you hold me? Or just the remnants of an old memory? And is it love I see in your eyes? Or just the storms of goodbyes? Love is the question for you and me. Love is not the answer it used to be. When I looked at you, I saw my future for sure. But I don't know what I see anymore. Love used to be my greatest joy. Now it's like a weapon you employ. Baby, I don't know what to say. Tell me how can we go on this way? Love is a question for you and me. Love is not the answer it used to be. When I looked at you, I saw my future for sure. But I don't know what I see anymore. So baby, answer the question I ask. Are we on different paths? Love's not the answer it used to be. Now love's the question that's torturing me.
Well, that was a beautiful singing job, Martha. The poem is very touching. You know, it's deep and it's heartfelt. You can feel the question being asked here. Is this love? And, you know, you don't know anymore. Is it love you see in his eyes, or is it just a storm of goodbyes? A powerful write and an excellent singing job, Martha.
Thank you.
Laura, what are your thoughts?
Well, in the second stanza of the first two lines, is it love that I feel when you hold me, or just the remnants of an old memory? That's a very interesting observation because, you know, you think you're still in love, but actually you're just remembering what love used to feel like. And the way that the poet treats love as a question not the answer that it used to be is also very, very interesting. Love's not the answer it used to be. Now love's the question that's torturing me. You know, is she still in love? Is she not? Because she certainly can't feel it from him. Now, Martha, you put together a very nice piece here. Bravo.
Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely. And, Sawa, what are your thoughts?
It's great to hear you, Martha. You have a way of feeding your SoundCloud so much emotion. This one is kind of sad because the previous one was not like this. I see the difference. You can see the love that you used to see, but you don't, even from the first two lines, when you say you don't act the same as before, I can't feel the love anymore. That's really heart-wrenching. And I agree with Laurent, there is, you love, but you question the love, is it still there, or just the way you used to see it. Very, very heart-wrenching.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Great comment. Thank you, Stella. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
It occurred to me when I was listening to Martha and thinking about all of her different pieces that we've had the opportunity and the privilege to hear, she reminds me, and I hope this isn't a too obscure reference, she reminds me of Will Rogers. He was a humorist, but his humor was so down to earth. It was relatable. His aphorisms were very widely quoted, and he just was, everyone understood what he was saying. They could understand the feelings that he would communicate in his humor. And I think Martha's verse is very much the same way in that she has very relatable. And this one's no different. I mean, it talks about, are you really, and I agree with Laurent, you know, we ask ourselves, are we really still in love, or are we just looking for the feeling we used to have? And this is this piece definitely does a wonderful and eloquent job of expressing that and making us all think about it. But I think it's a very lovely piece.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And would you like to say anything about your song, Martha?
I just got the first line one day and wrote it from there.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing. Excellent job. Okay, Sawa, well, I have your poem up, and you have a SoundCloud, so I'll play that.
I love poems. Today, my pen. Aujourd'hui, ma plume. Yesterday, I was young. My eyes thought they heard single star to star. I love you. And my modest heart did not want to stop beating. I believed in the time of flowers that was in the air. My innocent eyes were wrong. Like a misty cloud who dried up my azure sky from its color. Yet I was able to pick my sensitivity from the echo of my pains. Moaning in my soul, no more tears to shed. My victimized mind and body did not know where to flee. My heart unintentionally froze. Day after day, winter after winter, storm after storm. Today, my pen searching to tremble my heart on paper the thousand words. Hier, j'étais jeune, mes yeux croyaient entendre chanter une étoile, je t'aime. Mon cœur modeste ne voulait arrêter de battre. Il croyait autant de fleurs qui valsent dans l'air. Mes yeux innocents avaient tort. Tu es comme un nuage brumeux qui a séché mon ciel de sa couleur azur. Pourtant, j'ai pu cueillir ma sensibilité de l'écho de mes douleurs qui gémissaient dans mon âme.
que de larmes a versé, mon corps et mon esprit victimisés, ne savaient plus où fuir. Mon cœur, sans le vouloir, s'est glacé. Jour après jour, hiver après hiver, tempête après tempête, aujourd'hui ma plume cherche à frémir mon cœur sur des papiers avec mille mots indifférents.
Beautiful job, Bella. You know, your read was fantastic. And the poem is heart-wrenching, you know, yet beautiful. You know, you start off with, yesterday I was young, my eyes thought they heard, sing a star, I love you. And my modest heart did not want to stop beating. I believed in the time of flowers that waltz in the air. My innocent eyes were wrong. You are like a misty cloud who dried up my azure sky from its color. Yeah, just haunting, haunting lines. You know, yet I was able to pick my sensitivity from the echo of my pains moaning in my soul. Beautiful job, Sal. Heart-wrenching.
Thank
beautiful.
You.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Mark, what are your thoughts?
I enjoy the French and the English together. There are three lines that are particularly poignant to me. Pourtant, j'ai pu cuire ma sensibilité de l'écho de mes douleurs qui gémissaient dans mon âme. Yet I was able to pick my sensitivity from the echo of my pains moaning in my soul. That was gorgeous, as was this poem. Really well done, Salma.
Thank you so much, Laurent. Merci.
Thank you, Laurent. And Martha, what are your thoughts?
I thought it was beautiful. I love the way you're able to take pain and make it, you express it so well. I know because I've gone through a lot of it myself, and you just express it beautifully. You did a wonderful job.
Thank you so much, Martha.
Great comment. Thank you. And so what were your thoughts on your poem?
Oh, it's like how to talk about it. It's just emotions. It's a continuous contest. I had to write for this one invitation, so it brought it up. It got it out.
Well, that's good, absolutely. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Thank you.
The queen of the brevity has finally treated us with something that's, by her standards, almost verbose. It's an outpouring, and it's a beautiful outpouring. It is so heart-wrenching and so emotion-filled. I mean, it is like it's a raw nerve. It's beautiful. My heart unintentionally froze. Day after day, winter after winter, storm after storm, and you can feel the loneliness, the bereft longing in there. This is such an emotional, powerfully emotional feat. You did a splendid job on this. Magnifique.
Merci beaucoup, Bobby.
Wonderful comment, Bobby. And Frank, are you there?
Yes. I've been listening all the time, but that's a just wonderful comment, I would say. If you want, I could comment for this poem here. I have to agree what's been said. There is a morose tone. You know, I noticed in your voice there, there was a morose tone in your voice there, which made this poem even much more exquisite, I would say. It's just, you know, at times our voice commands, you know, our emotions, our thoughts, but also dictates the flow of the poem. And you did a wonderful job tonight with this poem here. You made me think so much in this piece here, but you also brought the emotions of this piece. They were very tangible. But I really like the whole notion of just, you know, having melancholic overtures, you know, going through, you know, grasping, you know, going through these hard, you know, hard moments in life, but also grasping onto something, you know, to learn from something, you know, to ascribe it to a sense of sentiment of hope or reason. And I really like that last line there. You say, on paper with 1,000 words, you really did reveal yourself this poem tonight.
Thank you so much, Frank.
Oh, you're welcome.
Great comment, Frank. Thank you. Okay, Bobby, you're up next, please.
Okie dokie. Oh, you've decided on this one. Okay. I'm sorry, I forgot that I dropped one in last week, and in my zeal, I threw another one at you. So thank you for sorting them out. Up the one. This was written for New Year's contest, and it asked about resolutions and what you decided you were going to do with 2022, and this was my offering. Here I am again, starting down a familiar yet untraveled winding road that stretches before me, 365 brand new, untested, unexplored days. It's my own personal hill climb, my annual challenge. This time next year, will I be looking at a trail of days that were each filled with productive hours, completed tasks, positive experiences, accomplishments, aspirations realized, a sense of purpose and direction, treasured memories, time well spent, or will the path behind me be littered with a wake of unfulfilled potential, untried chances, unattempted opportunities, hesitation, indecisiveness, irresolution, and the empty hulls of the days where time was squandered? Killing time is a crime that leaves no blood trail, yet robs us of something invaluable, a non-renewable resource, a finite asset. I will regard time as a boon more valuable than rare gems or precious metals, a treasure of inestimable value, instead of regarding it as my personal bottomless bee bank that I can loot and swindle with impunity. Just as my body never forgets a calorie, my lifetime never forgets a moment. And if the skein of my life is a tapestry that is woven daily, then it is up to me as the weaver to make it worthy of tribute. A work of art filled with color, celebration, and magic moments, and not a blank canvas full of empty space. End poem.
Well, that was a beautiful poem and a beautiful read as well. But, you know, you can see the reflective nature in this poem if you're looking back on the years and thinking of what this year bring and how much value can you bring to it. I thought it was insightful and deep. Just a powerful poem, Bobby.
Yep.
Lord, what are your thoughts? You bet. Hello, Lord?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I beg your pardon. This particular piece appeals to me. The second stanza, as a younger man, I would have welcomed. But now, at this age, it's the third one that I identify with, or will the path behind me be littered with a wake of unfulfilled potential, untried chances, unattempted opportunities, hesitation, indecisiveness, irresolution, and the empty holes, the days where time was squandered, gotten good at squandering time. Apparently, I'm killing quite a bit of it. There I was just a moment ago, squandering time with heavy lids. See what I mean? You did a great job with the singer's piece, Bobby. Great job. Fit the prompt perfectly.
Excellent comment, Lord. Thank you. And
thank you.
Martha.
I thought it was a wonderful way of looking at a new year and the chances you have and the chances you squander and what might be and what might not be because of the choices we make. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great ride.
Very much, Martha.
Great comment, Martha. Thank you. And Sal, what are your thoughts?
I really admire how Bobby can write about anything.
She's just doing it all.
Well, thank you.
And she does, and she does it well. This is, I love how the sense of this poem. It's honest, and I like you, the stuff that you didn't do or didn't accomplish, and what you want to do in the future. There's determination that accomplish and not waste time, especially with this line, killing time is a crime. It really got my attention because that leaves no blood trail, and yet you are just of something invaluable, of no resource, a fine success. It's so true. Remind me of a famous saying. I don't know if anyone knows. Time is like a sword. If you don't cut it, it will cut you. It's absolutely
true.
Yes, I heard
that.
Yeah. So I love the sense of the poem. It makes us reflect on really what it means for us and what's the purpose of our existence here and how we spend it. Well done.
Merci bien.
Absolutely. Thank you. That was a great comment. And Frank, what do you think?
Well, with Bobby, it's always, she always just fascinates me with her write. You know, regardless of what she writes, she just has a sense of usage of language. You know, she's much like Laurent, but I feel in this piece here, you know, I feel much more to the akin to say is what's been said already. There is this is that whole notion of wasting time. You know. It's one which we do so very profoundly, yet we're not very conscious of why we just do it most of the times. And when we do realize this, you know, that we do waste time, whether it's unproductive or whether we think it's productive, we always wonder, you know, when time and as we get, you know, older in years, why we wasted so many unproductive years. And this is really a fantastic observation there. Analogy to perhaps subscribe to that talk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, I've got the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please, Frank.
I have to just bear with me. I have to refresh so much on my, which one is it, the Tom? Which one is the poem?
Yeah,
is it the oh, okay. Let's see if I can open it really quick. Bear with me here. It doesn't seem that I'm going to be able to. My phone is a bit slow at the moment, so if you want, I can move on. If you want to, so I don't waste time, perhaps try to read the next one.
Sure, okay. Sal, would you mind reading that, please?
Oh, I'll be honored. Let's see if... I'm sorry, I was not on mute. I thought I was on mute. Okay. Love is Fire by Jack Kovic. Fire, acid, lava, radioactive. Also sun on a winter morning, sparkling of ice and snow. Cool breeze and a sizzling day, refreshing and clean. A squeaky hair shower. Electric touches that it made the skin, kisses lasting hours, hours passing an instant. A 70-year-old man, 17 and strong, as I see with titanium heels. And the form, sorry, I'm doing help in that laugh. It's funny at the end.
Thank you. What a beautiful read. but this is an interesting poem. You know, it's... starts with fire, acid, lava, radioactive. Also sun on a winter morning, sparkling off ice and snow, cool breeze on a sizzling day. And then, you know, as Achilles with titanium heels. Love and marriage, what joy, is his author's notes. But, you know, it definitely has a kick-ass feel to it. It really is powerful. What did you think, Bobby?
Looking at his second to last, reminded of the comment by Mark Twain, he writes, "Tisses lasting hours, hours passing in instants, a 70-year-old man, 17 and strong," a beautiful juxtaposition of image, of concept, It reminds me of Mark Twain wrote that. He said, time is relative. He said, talking to a pretty girl, a minute can seem like an hour, and sitting on a hot stove, or no, an hour can seem like a minute. Sitting on a hot stove, a minute can seem hour. And it's, that is so very true, and it is also very objective. But I love his references to common things, everyday occurrences that have significance. Sun on a winter morning, cool breeze on a sizzling day, refreshing and clean as squeaky hair showers. I mean, that reference is so relatable. Electric touches that ignite the skin. This is a very human piece, very relatable, something so very essential about everything he says. And then he ends it with a comical, as Achilles with titanium heel. Great reference.
Yeah, thank you, Bobby. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm going to agree there. This poem is not very long, but it does seem very relatable in the sense of, you know, what he's describing there. And I like that whole notion there, you know, we are human beings at the end of the day, you know, so we go through our daily routines, you know, and as we do go through those daily routines, we go through the daily, actually not a month, well, actually the seasons as well. So there is always a connection with our personal references to life and our daily routine with nature as well. And I like his own notion, you know, him describing himself, you know, being at the age he is, he still feels that he is Achilles with titanium heels. That's a very, I wouldn't say it's confident in the nature of vain, you know, being vainglory. I would say it's self-confidence of accepting one for who they are at the age they are. So I thought it was very, very humble as well. Although there is a sense of wit as well.
Yes, thank you, Frank. And Lizzie Wilder, welcome back.
Hello, everybody. Did you want me to comment?
Hello. Yes, please.
I love his humor. Okay, I still believe the most attractive thing about another person is the ability to make you laugh and make you smile. You know, and he does that so well. And he does it with pizzazz. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, what the weather is outside. You know, usually when it's cold, you usually think of, you know, your grandparents being all covered up and everything. But, you know, they're a couple. You know, I don't know what people think. That's how you got here, is the love of your parents. And, you know, and he brings out that just because he's gotten older doesn't mean, you know, those emotions haven't grown. Because now he says now his love is like fire and it's like lava and it's radioactive. And just the touch of her fingers just ignites his. Yeah, and then I just got, he says, a 70-year-old man with 17 and strong. You know, and that's true. Love makes you feel young and youthful. And, you know, even when we look at couples today that have been together for a long time and they're holding hands and they talk to each other, you can just see that spark in their eyes between them. And when they kiss, it is so gentle and sweet. So the fire truly never goes away. It only gets stronger with age and years.
Yeah.
Well,
I agree with that.
And Sal, what are your thoughts?
It was really fun to read. I love the contrast between the first stanza and the rest. You say fire and lava and like, and then also it's sun on winter, warming. It's every day of, he just show what love means for him in his daily life, in his life, really. And I agree with Louis, that's exactly what I put in my comment, that love doesn't really know age. And it's just, and mm-hmm. also how he finished it with such a great humor. I couldn't stop Thank laughing, you. Especially with Stanley. He just had a great humor and beautiful personality shows in his poem. Amazing. Enjoyed it very much.
Great comment. Thank you, Paula. Okay, I have the next poem up, Bobby, if you don't mind.
not at all. Okay. Unbreakable in Love by Sapphire Rose. Meet me in the calm waters of euphoria, where light serenades the dark depths, where sea French kisses an evening sky. Stimulate those unawakened places. Deep down inside, caress my intellect. Seduce the whole of me. Your voice seeps into every crevice. Your presence undeniable. Eyes meet. Now longing to savor. We unbreakable in love. End poem.
That was a beautiful read, Bobby. And this is a touching poem. You know, you can feel the passion and the desire and the longing for that connection. And he says in his author's notes, I define connection as the energy that exists between people when they feel seen, heard, and valued, when they can give and receive without judgment, and when derive sustenance and strength from the relationship. So that was a beautiful author's note as well. Just a touching poem. What did you think, Sawa?
I love this. Great read. She's very romantic. It's like she painted a scene, romantic scene somewhere. I really love her wording. Unbreakable in love. When people are in love, there's nothing really matters to them. It's just like, as she said, awakened places deep down inside. Everything, and it's not only about seduction. I mean, I guess everything becomes so attractive, voice, eyes, especially at the first time, like the sequel, the food, it's just really beautiful. When people are in love, there's nothing that breaks them. I feel like there's desire and longing to springing from the heart. That's what I felt in here.
Great comment. Thank you, Stella. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
Yes. First of all, I can say she's a remarkable poetess. I was able to do a Sunshine collab with her. She has a wonderful ability for this as well, for romance. This is a wonderful poem. You know, I think I'm going to go with what Bobby said there as well. Well, you know, love is a very powerful tool there. Nowadays, we go and we get on to so many things on it, you know, with the apps, you know, interested in that. And we think our vision of love, you know, look like completely from the outside, and we tend to forget what's inside. And a poem like this, you know, it has a bond, you know, a very passionate, a very, you know, strong romantic bond, you know, which is love, you know, when it's really you know, enjoyed, and it's love. Above all, that's the key there, my friend, love. And I like the way she describes it, you know, with we are unbreakable in love. So it's such an envious thing, you know. I envy this type of poem because this is a type of love that we seldom see nowadays.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you, Frank. And Lee, what did you think?
You know, I agree with what everybody says. You know, I put in the comment to her that that, you know, this was beautiful. The imagery is stunning because, you know, this connection develops over time. And when you finally meet and you feel that kiss and everything that you've developed through that relationship just penetrates every cell in your body, your mind. But my favorite stanza, because this is what I truly believe, because relationships change in time. But your memories and mine don't. And, you know, even though somebody, you know, can become sick, there is still something about holding their hand and touching them and kissing them and kissing their face. You know, those emotions, that mental collection, that mental connection and that intellectual thing is everything that develops over time. That is what's hot. That is what seduces women and, you know, and men also. It's not just women, you know. So, you know, not just physical love is the only thing, but the mental and intellectual of the person and those bonds that you've made.
hot, hot, hot.
Well, I agree with you there.
Great comment, Lee. Yeah, great comment, Lee. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Thank you.
I think this is a superb piece of writing. It is brief. It is powerful. It is eminently relatable. For some reason, the phrase, as I was reading this and then listening to it, or reading it over afterwards again, I keep thinking about the phrase, kiss me again for the first time, or kiss me for the first time again. Because when you really are, when you really are deeply in love with someone, every time is like the first time, and it is just it is just as significant, just as meaningful, just as earth shaking, and this piece, it communicates that with clarity and with deep emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, great comment, Ruby. Thank you. And Frank, would you mind reading for Naomi Sarah?
Well, I'll try to give it, and although I have a very deep voice, I'll try to give it a stab here. This is I have done a feminine voice before. If you all too dare, and I can do a feminine voice, but I think I'll do it. If you want, I'll try. Or do you want me to read it in my normal?
No, please. Oh, your mistake, Frank. Think of your mistake.
Right. I'll just do it. All right. Here we go. This is called Wrapped in Words, and it goes like this. I dust off the words from the palm of my heart, stretching my writing into the world. A fearless fighter with hands on my hips and a glint in my eye, bold and sassy. Yes, that's me holding my pin, wrapped in words and nothing else, looking confidently towards the future, releasing my usual tight ponytail from the tower upon my crown, letting its waves crash upon the shore of my shoulders, bearing my skin from the weight of my clothes, standing big and strong inside my screaming scarlet letters, dipped in and stained with my blood, splattered along the streets and as I dance inside the rain, and brave the eye of the hurricane, laughing at anger and crying at humor, being assertive and strong, I'm bossy and proud, taking a stand for what I believe, or simply letting things pass me by, rising on cool mornings and swimming in deep, clear ponds, walking along mountain tops and standing at the edges of cliffs, to kiss the stars and breathe the moonlight as I throw words into the universe, bathing in new courage and strength, found in the fiery slip of my wrist, in thorns burned down my throat, and no sound stirs my vocal cords. I will split the atoms of my soul and write you a thunderstorm. End of poem.
I thought that was beautiful done. Excellent read, Frank. But, you know, the poem is...
I was wondering if it was going to be, solely a female point of view completely, you know, in the tone of the... But she's remarkable about this type of poetry.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, it's gender flexible for sure. But no, you know, it reads well. You know, it has an excellent cadence to it. And the flow is fantastic. But standing big and strong inside my screaming scarlet letters dipped in and stained with my blood, splattered along the streets as I dance inside the rain and breathe the eye of the hurricane, laughing at anger and crying at humor, being assertive and strong or bossy and proud, taking a stand for what I believe in, or simply just letting things pass me by. You know, that's life itself right there. A powerful poem. What did you think, Fella?
This is really, excuse me, just my cup is getting hold of me. A great read, Frank. I really love the title.
I tried.
Wrapped in words. No, it's a great job. Wrapped in words. I dust off the words from the palm of my heart. It's just really she speaks from her heart here, and how about life, how sometimes we meet hurricanes, we meet, and it's really about her personality too, because, or not personality, but how she confronts things. I dance inside the rain and brave the eyes of the hurricane, laughing at anger and crying at, you know, being assertive and strong. Telling us about her personality too. But still, even in spite of her case, just to rise up and enjoy life. She's just a positive person, beautifully done. I'm sorry, I didn't get a great comment because I was coughing. I would write another one for her. And I think I'm going to say good night because my cough is getting hold of me. Sorry.
Oh, no. Okay, good night. Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Love bye, Sawa. Love you.
And, Frank, what did you think?
Oh, well, I know that most likely when she hears, I believe she was on here before, no, or did she not call in?
No, she didn't.
Okay, I wasn't certain about that. I'm certain when she hears this recording, she's going to write me and say, she'll say something to me, but I like the way Naomi writes, because she always brings in not only, you know, a sense of humor, a sense of sensuality, she's just very creative in her writes, and she has this ability to really draw us into her writes. I mean, I like that whole notion there of, you know, of I dust off the words from the palm of my heart. You know, this is a poet, but it's a poetess, but it's also, you know, a lover as well, a woman. And everything described here is just, it only seems like the deep inside, the deep inside, the core of her with this poem here. And I like the notion there with the thorns burned down my throat, no sound stirs my vocal cords, and the atoms splitting and right to a thumb. This is it's a very sensual, very romantic, but it's also very relatable, you know. And I think you have to be a woman to relate to some of this, you know. And it's a great poem, great, and I like the notion there wrapped in words, because it's very much very insightful. There's a lot of thought being added into this poem.
Absolutely, I agree. Thank you, Mike. And Liu, what did you think?
Oh, well, I went to see what she wrote for, and this was a quote by Nikita Gill, where it's titled "Writers Are Dangerous People," and she has that picture up there. She says, "Never take the writer for granted. They are snipers, armed with words. They know how to aim with sentences, how to fire with paragraphs, and how to immortalize their kills in verse." You know, and I thought she did this beautifully, because it's, you know, a pen, just like with a pencil, it's a work of art. You know, you just start scribbling. You know, sometimes when we've been hurt, we try to say, okay, I'm not going to let it bother me, screw you. I'm going to keep going and happy, you know, I'm going to happy try, skip along. But you're not always happy, because eventually something will trigger a memory, whatever it may be, song, music, food, smells, them driving by up the street, you know, whatever it is. Then that hurt comes into your heart, and you know, it comes back. So, you know, these different emotions, you know, like, you know, she says, she looks to her future, and she takes her ponytail down, and you know, she puts her crown on, and you know that she's still the queen. She knows she's valuable, and she says, you can see the roller coaster when something affects you so much, that up and down, you know, and she brings that out. She says, the brave, the eye of the hurricane, and then she goes, the laughing at anger, the crying at humor. You know, she brings out all these different emotions and stuff, but then right here she goes, she says, I throw words into the universe, bathing in the new courage and strength. Because sometimes when you write, it can release things that, you know, that you can't say. Something you were not able to say as a child to protect yourself, or something you cannot tell that person because the pain is so deep you can't express the words. But that pen will bleed, where she says, found in the fiery slip of my wrist, whose thorns burned down my throat, and no sound stirs in my vocal cords. Sometimes you just can't talk. I will spit
split the atoms of my soul and write you a thunderstorm. And then when you finally have that opportunity where it can be released, then you're released.
Absolutely not.
That was
fantastic. And Bobby, do you get to comment on this?
Yes, please. I actually just finished scribbling something. I said this is a stunningly potent and penetrating expression of female empowerment. Standing big and strong inside my screaming scarlet letters, dipped in and stained with my blood, splattered along the streets as I dance inside the rain and brave the eye of the hurricane, laughing at anger and crying at humor, being assertive and strong, or bossy and proud, taking a stand for what I believe, or simply letting things pass me by. The words conjure the image of Circe, Cleopatra, Wonder Woman, Sally Ride, all the images of a strong, resilient woman who embraces the panoply of emotions, of living life, that living life unleashes and revels in the sensations, good and bad, of living. This is a funny piece. I've already thrown it at the FPP board. I've already tucked it away in two of my lists. So brava, Naomi, magnifique.
No, someone comment, Bobby. Thank you. Okay, Frank, are you able to read for Jax?
Yeah. Yes, I'll read this one here. The birthmarks, right?
Sorry?
Is that it?
Birthmarks?
Birthmarks?
Yes.
Is it? Okay, here he goes. Born bloody bruised, bummed and broken. Birth canal battles take their toll, black and blue, covered in goo. We discover rock and roll, it's not just a line, but how life is lived. Knock down, stand back up, knock down again, rinse and repeat in the pump.
That was a great read, Frank. Sorry, I had to double read there. Swept my mind.
No, it's all right.
But no,
I mean, as long as I can, you know, my phone allows me. I mean, I have no problem with reading.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. But no, this is a wonderful crafting. You know, it's short and to the point. You know, it's speaking of the battles that we have in life that we have to fight and get knocked down and get back up. And I thought it was well done. What did you think, Sala, or Bobby?
I think it's a remarkable piece of writing. I mean, he's gone from being born to rock and roll, and the metaphor is so apt. I mean, all of our great songwriters do write with great accuracy and passion about life. But his last stanza, knock down, stand back up, knock down again, rinse and repeat. That is clever at the end, and so well said. This is a very shining brevity.
Thank you, Bobby. I appreciate that. And Frank, what did you think?
That's me, right?
Yes.
All right. I wasn't certain who else was on. I'm starting to get familiarized with his style of writing. Conviction in this piece here. I was looking down at the way he wrote it, what's been there, you know, it's for life and democracy. There is that sense of parliament, you know, there's. And then, you know, as years go by, your conviction, you know, you start feeling, you realize that you're in a, you know, life just a few years, and suddenly to that conviction at times don't really necessarily change for that, but they do vote, you know, in our view for, you know, such things as democracy, for justice, and, you know, so be it. I thought you did a good job of that.
Well said. Thank you, Frank. And Louie, what are your thoughts?
Well, what I like about this, right, is, you know, it is so realistic. It's very simplified and set in these imagery. You know, he put in his author's notes just an example of how we fight for life and democracy. You know, just like our nation was fought for it to be developed, sometimes from the birth canal, we fight. You know, we have to fight from the birth canal through our entire lives. And the only way to survive is to get back up when you get back knocked down. You know, and he's like Bobby read, and that was also, you know, my favorite stanza was the last one also, where you knock down, stand back up again, get, you know, knocked down again, rinse and repeat. How many of us have not gone through this?
Yeah, exactly. Well said. Thank you, Lee. Okay, well, we've got 5 minutes left, and I don't know if we should try to put another poem or not. What do you think, people?
It's up to you, my friend. I mean, you're the one who controls if you agree with me, if you think you have time. If you don't, there's no problem with that, of course.
Anyone got any contests out there that they'd like to plug?
Oh,
yeah, I do.
I have one.
Go ahead.
It's still open. No, mine is up there. I mean, it's up there. You can find it in the contest list there. I do believe you can scroll down and you'll find it there.
Mm-hmm. And also, I'm running a contest.
I'll private message you there afterwards, Bobby.
Okay. I also am running a contest for Valentine's. So if anybody would like to write for that, I would appreciate it.
Right,
I have a few spots open. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Well, thank you, everybody, for calling in to share your hearts, your minds, your voices, and most especially your time. Much love, everybody.
Everyone,
all right. Good
care,
night, everybody.
Friend.
Love you guys. Besitos.
Take care.
Buenas noches.
Besitos, besitos. Buenas noches. Stay safe,
besitos.
Everyone.
Take love
care.
You, Bobby.
Okay.
Great. Good night.
Yes.
Good night, everybody.
I'll listen. I'm going to listen to the recording afterwards. Take care.
Hey, buddy.